To what do we owe this pleasure? Not once, but twice with goaltending analyst and all-around bad guy Brent Cron. Why are you on again?
I don't know. It's Friday. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I got to work too. But I figured, you know what? I may as well talk hockey for as long as you'll let me.
Guy texts Will and I last night and said, am I coming on tomorrow? I'm like, well, you usually don't. If you want to, sure. I'd love to have you on. What's going on? What a better way to celebrate a Friday than speaking to your two favorite mud fences?
Tire fires, gas cans. The list goes on for you two idiots. But you know what? I do have fun when I do get on. So, you know, and then I have a bunch of other names for you guys too that obviously doesn't make it to air. But
yeah, that's probably a good.
I'm creative.
Plan. You know, we're still live on the air and. We still have a license that we need to uphold. Your boy Pekka Rinne has had an interesting postseason. His Predators get wiped out last night, and he gets yanked from that game, allowing two goals on seven shots, the fastest pull in Game 7 history. First of all, the decision to yank Pekka Rinne after allowing those two goals on seven shots, were you in favor of it last night?
100%. Well, because they also had UC Saros back there who had come in relief more than he needed to, and he hadn't let in the goal yet. So he's been pretty solid coming in off the bench, and those two goals that he let in were, no goalie ever tries to let it in a goal, but like that first one, I couldn't believe it went in, and it went in, and he was just as shocked. And then even from the start of the game, though, the way he was moving in his net, he was out of position for a lot of things, even just on the simplest, cross crease slides or just moving in his net. He didn't look comfortable at all. And that second goal goes in. I mean, Stastny gets the first shot, and I don't know why he moves away from it. And then he tries to come back in. And when he pulls the puck out of the net, he's basically just staring into oblivion, and he's staring at the bench. He's like, he knows he doesn't have that. And he just looked empty and defeated. And it's unfortunate that for the season that he's had, to finish the season off like that is crazy. He got pulled three times in the series. He was horrible at home. His stats were, I think his goals against was close to five. And you're not going to win games like that. And Winnipeg's a deep team. They're a hard-working team. They don't take the foot off the gas pedal. Nashville's a really skilled hockey club, too. If Rinne would have just been able to play well, it would have been obviously a lot closer of a game. And, Hellebuck made 36 saves. And a lot of them are early on. He kept his team in the game. But then Rinne let all the air out of the sails by letting in those two horrible goals.
It's such a weird postseason for Rinne, right? I mean, he was so good on the road and could not make a timely save on home ice, which it's hard to wrap your head around how that could be the case. You know, how you can be so good playing away from, I believe going into last night, 933 on the road this playoffs and 881 at home. Just a strange postseason for him.
Odd. I mean, the pressure, sometimes it's just tough to play at home, though. I mean, I never liked playing at home. I always felt like, I don't know if you'd say do more, but, when the visiting fans are booing you and they're getting on your case, you can live with it. It's not a problem. It's when you're your hometown fans, you obviously want to play well, obviously for personal pride, but you want the city to be behind you. You want to obviously have people cheering for you and in your corner. So sometimes that can take a bit of the focus off too, when you put a little bit of extra pressure on yourself, you try a little bit harder. But he just wasn't comfortable. He wasn't comfortable at all at the Bridgestone Arena. He wasn't very good. I mean, if Winnipeg could have started at home this series, I think the Nashville Predators would have won, because he did play really, really well in Winnipeg. But I'm shocked. The words that I don't even know what to say. I mean, this is just such a meltdown. It's crazy. I thought he'd bring it. I thought he'd be excellent. I thought he'd be ready to go, because this series, no team won two games back to back. It was always 1-1-1-1. So, and everybody had a great bounce back game, but then you brought it to the point where it's game seven and it's do or die. And so everybody's jacked up to play in this game. And the 2 days in between too, where they played Monday night and they had Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then Thursday night they played. And, I don't think it has too much to do with it, but that extra day off, sometimes, it just gives you an extra day to think about hockey that you can't do anything about. I mean, you can, from a mental aspect, you can outthink yourself, because it's sometimes, you know, when you play a bad game or you play a good game, and you get right back in the net the next night and you keep the ball rolling. Well, he played excellent in game six, and then he had an extra day to think about how much pressure was on him in game seven. And maybe that could have had something to do with it. You know, last night, Kelly Rudy's comments there, when he got pulled that quick, you know, and he just skated off the bench and basically sat in the hallway there. I mean, you know, as a goaltender, when that happens to you, you don't want anybody around you. You don't want anybody's pity. You know, it's the biggest game of the playoffs for you, biggest game of his life, biggest game of the, you know, just the amount of eyes that's on this series. And for him to just kind of fall short, you just leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Don't pat me on the pads. I know I suck today. It just, I don't need any of it. You know, it's his teammates were great after the game with him, saying, you know, he's the backbone of this hockey team and he's a really good player, person. Everybody appreciates the goaltender he is, the person that he is. But for him to fall, you know, so flat on his face, it's embarrassing for him. Yeah. It's going to be a long year. He handled the media like a champ afterward. He took full responsibility. He just felt like somebody, he looked like somebody just punched him in the gut. And I felt horrible for him, because I know what it's like when you're a goaltender to not perform in key situations. And he's got one more year left on his deal. And you know what? That UC Saros is a pretty good goaltender, and he's only going to get better. And I think Pekarinen is my age or 1 year younger. I think he might be 35. And, you know, his window's closing too, so he knows he missed an opportunity.
What do you do if you're the Predators now? Pekarinen is probably going to win the Vezina Trophy. Had a great regular season. He's 35 years old, though. You mentioned UC Saros, who is much younger, and he's been waiting in the wings for a little while there. He's a very talented guy, but he's never been a number one goaltender in this league. What do you do if you're Nashville this offseason?
Well, I think offseason, you do nothing. I think your goaltending is set. You got really good goaltending. Just because of that one game, everybody's going to be looking at it like it's horrible. But that bitter taste won't go away. But you don't have to do anything. You're not going to improve your goaltending from Pekarinen. You're not going to find anybody better, really. I mean, unless you go get Carey Price or Vasilevsky or Hellebuck. I mean, those guys are all solidified. They're not going anywhere. They're not looking for goaltending. They just are extremely disappointed. He did not bring it when the team needed it. And, you know, it's going to stick with him now for the rest of the summer. Or, you know, if he doesn't get another chance to win a Stanley Cup for the rest of his life, it'll be a bit of a stinger, and it'll take a while to get over it. But as far as the Predators go, they're in good hands with goaltending. UC Saros, he's going to be great. But like you said, too, he's hasn't proven himself as a number one guy. But the relationship those two share, too, is you could see it. You know, Rinne was a very, very team-oriented guy. You know, fist pumping on the bench for UC when he was playing. Every time he come to the bench, they chat. And, you know, he didn't stay in his shell. He supported his teammates, and you know, he couldn't do anything about it. It's done. It's like, what are you going to, you can't sit there and cry about it. You got to try and bring people up and keep increasing, you know, morale and, you know, working with your guys and staying, you know, communicating on the ice, even though you're not playing. The back goalie can still get involved somehow. And I thought he did an excellent job of that, but you know, the future for the Predators, they're in good hands. But you know, they may trade him maybe halfway through the year, but as far as summertime goes, they're not going to do anything.
With Brent Cron, our NHL goaltending analyst, joining us here on a bonus Friday after the Predators go down to Winnipeg last night in Game 7. How impressive has Connor Hellebuck been? Because this is a young goaltender in his first year as being a starter, and here he is backstopping a team all the way to the Western Conference Final.
He looked like he played in the NHL for 20 years last night playing in Game 7. He didn't move. He tracked the puck well. He plays deep in his net, which I like, but he plays very upright, keeps his shoulder square to the puck. And the guy, I mean, he's a bit of a nerd when it comes to interviews after the game. I mean, the guy just kind of, you know, the way he chats, it's, I could take him or leave him in the interview, but behind the mask, he's really, really, really confident, really good. And it's just almost like a night and day goaltending from when it was the year before. I mean, he was not very good last season. To go with this season and play the way he has, it blows me away. It just goes to show you that, you know, an extra year, you know, putting some time in with you know, just whatever you need to do in the off season. He's come into the season and he's owned it. He's taking full advantage of it. And I just, you know, he's a real treat to watch. He doesn't look like he has a heartbeat out there either. Almost kind of like Carey Price, where you don't even know if the guy's even trying. He is. But it just looks so effortless out there. I thought in Game 7, the biggest stage he's ever played in, on the road, everything is just, you know, Nashville has a bit of the momentum carrying over from Game 6. and he just goes out there and does his job. And you can just see how the Jets play in front of him. They're calm. They let him see the puck. They let him do his job. They don't try and, you know, I mean, they block shots. I mean, Blake Wheeler's a prime example of a guy paying the price. But for the most part, if it's far out, they're letting him see the puck. They're moving everybody to the outside. He's able to see it. He's able to react to it. And they trust him to make that save. And then on top of that, you know, when there is a bit of a breakdown, he's there. And that's just like the same type of mentality. It's the same save where his heartbeat doesn't go up. He's in the right spot. He, you know, if a goal goes in, he just, you know, grabs some water and gets back to work. And if he struggles, it's not for the full game. It's, you know, for a 5-minute stretch here or a period there. But it's never a full game. And he can always, he just seems to be able to rebound so well. And you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen here in this next series. And they got a quick turnaround as they play Saturday night.
How do you see the goaltending matchup? Hellebuck on one side, he's never been here before. Marc-Andre Fleury's been here before, both as a starter numerous times and as a backup numerous times. How do you see this goaltending matchup breaking down?
Well, I think it's pretty much, you know, the two best goalies going at it now. I mean, you got Braden Holtby and Vasilevskiy on the other side who've also played, you know, excellent. But Fleury's probably been the best goaltender. And Hellebuck has just been he had to play through the most pressure, I believe. His team has always been in spots where, you know, I mean, especially that this last series, I mean, the elimination, game seven, and, you know, the series going back and forth with wins and stuff like that. I think he's been through a bit more this playoff series. He's learned a lot about himself. Fleury's obviously been there, but not for a little while. And I'm just really, really, really excited for it. I think Hellebuck's just going to continue doing what he's doing. I still think at some point Fleury's going to crack. I really do. I don't want him to, but I think he's going to crack. He's having fun right now, but you know what? Playing against the Winnipeg Jets, they get in your face. They battle hard. They are so deep at every position, and they're going to bring absolutely everything they have. Everybody underestimates Las Vegas. I mean, I don't have them winning this series either, but like I said, you know, like I've been saying all along, I didn't have them finishing anywhere, getting to the playoffs or winning a round. So who knows what can happen? They could surprise me too, but I think Fleury's going to crack, and I think Hellebuck's only going to get better.
Good stuff, buddy. Well, thanks for doing a bonus hit for us. It was your idea, so we said, sure, why not? If Cron wants to come on an extra day, we'll bring Cron on an extra day. So it's lovely to hear from you. What a Friday treat for both of us.
Well, you know what? I figured it's Friday too, and you guys are probably mailing it in anyway, so I figured I'd give you, you know, 20 minutes off.
That is an accurate statement. There has never been a more accurate statement ever uttered on this program. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.